Well, we have a little bit different service this morning and excited about it. This last week long, there were several of us that went on a missions trip. It was kind of like a staycation. We went on a little missions trip to home, to Lyons and down into the confluence, and to help those who are still recovering from the flood. We were able to come alongside Kurt and Mary Jo, and their heart and the heart of their ministry is on the side of their trailer, but it is being Jesus' hands and feet to those that are affected by disaster. And so we got a chance to do that this week with several of you, and even more than that, we got a chance to follow Jesus out those doors and into our community and just to love on people. And so we have several that are going to share a little testimony about that and what took place this week. Kurt's going to share a little bit. And I want to have just actually everybody that helped, even if you're not going to share, some people are shy. But even if you're not going to share, if you worked this week down, would you come up here just for a moment? Come on up. Come on up. Yeah, you helped with bringing a meal. You helped whatever it was. Awesome. And so here's, this is awesome. So some of these are going to share. Some of them may just be encouraged now to share that I got them up here. And that was the trick. No, it wasn't a trick. Who are you waving at?
Oh, all these youth guys. Are
yeah, they were yeah. All there on Wednesday.
Come on, guys. Come on.
Where's
come on.
Hey, bearded man.
I see Scott in the back there.
Yeah. Where's Scott?
Behind his wife.
Uh-huh. Hey, well, I want these guys to just share their heart and what they did to serve, and then Kurt's going to kind of take it from there. And if there's any time left, I've got a message. But if they share long enough, you won't have to listen to me this morning. And so it could just be a blessing. But there's a mic.
Okay. And y'all just want to go sit and we'll kind of walk through some stuff. So. But thanks. Just stay towards the close. Yeah, we're coming right back. So,
you need a mic.
Oh, I have to have a mic?
Yeah.
I have a big mouth. Okay, so by now y'all know who I am and what we do, and kind of walk you through a little bit of our day as we start out in the morning doing about an hour and a half devotion. With when we have teams that stay here, they kind of have to get up and be ready to go at 7:30 in the morning. I know not everybody was able to make it here for that lived around here, and that's fine. But we still did have it every single day, and we would sit down here in the cafe and drink coffee, and we went through, I think, chapter 5 and 6 or something like that of Ephesians, and we just kind of discussed that and do that. And then we always pray and thank God because serving God is something that we get to do. It's a privilege. And it doesn't matter if you go out and help build a house or you clean the restrooms or you make coffee here in the morning. It's like, you know, we've been saved unto good works, it says in the Bible. Now, good works do not save us. They don't get us to heaven. There's nothing that gets anybody to heaven except for the blood of Jesus and me accepting that. But it's not just about that. Once that happens, and that's the most awesome thing that happened on this earth, then we're supposed to die to ourselves. As we kept referring back to Mickey's last two Sundays, we have the right to give up our rights. Yeah, I have the right to watch football. I have the right to lay in bed and sleep in the morning. I have the right to do a million different things. But what did Jesus give up for us? And there was a lot of people this week that did that this week and came out and helped. And I know a lot of people joke around and say, Kurt's a slave diver, and he makes you work. Okay, Mickey worked the whole week. Okay? Enough said. But Mickey was there all week long. Not everybody was there, was able to come out every day. But Tom Beeman is not here because he's preaching at another church down the road. But every one time I mentioned to somebody, you know, there's four pastors here serving today. That was kind of neat. But Tom Beeman, and if you know Tom Beeman and you know what he's going through right now, he has to wear a knee brace because he can barely bend his knee. And yet he was there every single day. And I bet if you ask him, I bet he would say, no, Kurt didn't make me do anything. He worked within his limitations. And I say that to encourage y'all because we are not done out there. I'm in the middle of winterizing that trailer out there so that Mary Jo and I can live here through the winter because there's a lot of work to do. I think, off the top of my head, we've worked on 10 homes since we've been here in the middle of June, all at different kind of phases. And the stuff that we were working on this past week, the three main homes, which you'll see some pictures of, those are like complete rebuilds kind of thing. And so we're able to fill in that. And there's, like I said, there's a lot more work to go. I just talked to some of the homeowners just to make sure that I wasn't going to be winterizing that trailer and then pulling out of here. Because I want to make sure that yes, they still want to work through the winter. Yes, there's still plenty of work for volunteers to do. So also this week, and you may see some pictures of them. If you guys have not met Quint Betts, he is a pastor of a small church, Calvary Chapel, Clovis, New Mexico. He's actually been in your town four times serving. He came here back when the flood first happened. It was the first time I met him. We've become good friends. He came out and helped us in Texas. And they've come here three times just in like the past 6 weeks to help frame on Doug's house, and we'll see some pictures of that. And then we have Alan, who goes to Calvary Chapel Parker. If you don't know where Parker is, it's like an hour and 15 minutes from here if you don't have traffic. And he's been driving up twice a week just to come up and help. And then Bob and Kate Matthews from Calvary Chapel Aurora, they have actually brought a fifth wheel up here. It's down in the Confluence area. They're going through a transition in their life to start doing more disaster relief. And he was up here this week for a couple of days. They'll be back for a couple of days this week as they wind things down. So we have some help. We do need more. And I just want to kind of go through the slideshow. And what I'm going to do is when I see your picture up there, you get to come up and talk. So guess who gets to go first? This is actually a picture of Brian's house. This was taken like back in September, I think, was when you guys first helped. They did come out and help Wednesday as well, but before school started, they came out for a couple of days and helped us when Quint was here the first time.
Okay. Hi, I'm Randa Roberts, and originally helped in the Confluence area, whenever that was. What I learned is when you work harder than you're expected to, because it helps everyone. And I realized that during this time, I became really alive and on fire for God to work. It made me realize how much people lost and how much we didn't lose. But yeah.
Okay. So hi, I'm Rachel Roberts, and many of you know Raina and I were pretty involved in the church here. But we've kind of been brought up in the Christian household. We have been. We've had Bible verses implemented into our curriculum. So we've been really encouraged to build our relationship with the Lord. And I think I got saved when I was 7 years old. And I, ever since then, had a dream of being a missionary. And that was my dream. Like, many have a dream of being a nurse, and that is mine now. But also, in addition to that, being a missionary. And I would tell my mom, Mom, I really, really want to be a missionary, but I'm not sure I want to go across the country. And, I mean, we'll see when I get older, because it's a process. But she'd tell me, Rachel, you don't have to go that far. We have work here. And helping my grandma at Life Choices, I learned that. And a lot here this summer, we helped with the drywall. We pulled out a lot of the drywall and then the insulation, and then we went under the house. And that was fun. We had long sleeve shirts on and masks on, and it was 95 degrees, and it was a blast. We got all dirty, and yeah, it was really fun. But I think one of the biggest things I've learned is that you don't have to go hardly anywhere for God to use you. There's so much work just right here in your own town, and we're to be God's hands and feet and to look for that work, because as Christians, that's what he's called us to do.
Thank you. Don't forget your phone. It's interesting, at men's Bible study Wednesday morning, I forget who it was, somebody was sitting across from me, and they said, I took the Experiencing God course, and I took that too like 20 years ago. Anybody take that course? Remember that from a long time ago? No. And the only thing I remember was the same thing was the only thing he remembered, that God is always at work everywhere around us, and all we got to do is jump in. It's not about waiting to see what God is doing. God is always doing something. So, next picture. Oh, look whose back that is, but she's not going to come up and talk. But she gave me some things to say for her. So that's Adrian Maxwell's back. That is actually underneath Tom and Michelle's house. And what the guys and girls were doing there was they are doing that heated floor stuff. And so they're running PEX pipe all the way through, which is not as easy as you would think, because they want to make it so it doesn't have any breaks in it, and it's 300 foot long, and it has to go back and forth between all the trusses and through holes and all that stuff, because it has to be in the floor. It doesn't work, right? So here are some of Adrian's impressions. I enjoyed myself, and I'm glad I did it. At the end of each day, I was tired and dirty, but I felt like I contributed to a meaningful cause, and I got to know some great people. I especially appreciate that you two, I guess that's me and Mary Jo, are so organized. My pet peeve is when I sign up to volunteer somewhere, and when I arrive, I'm not given a clear job, and I'm supposed to figure out for myself how and where to help. I'm not good at that, so I was really thankful that you were waiting for me each day with a specific job that was well within my abilities. And now Adrian has to take her daughter Grace back and forth, who misses me profusely every time I'm not around. Just ask her. So she could like come around, I don't know, 9:30, 10, and then she'd show up around 2 or something. And to be truthful with you, I totally forgot every day that she was coming. And she would just be like, oh yeah, Adrian. And then, but we did. We always had something for you to do. And one day was working underneath here, and the rest was working with the other girls. So next picture. You can barely see it, but that's Mickey just to the right of that light. And that's, is that, who is that in front of you? No, over here to the left. Bob. Okay. Oh yeah. Bob. Okay. So that's Bob from Calvary Aurora. Sorry. Okay. Next picture. Okay. This is Doug's house. Doug is the guy climbing down the ladder. Of course, you guys recognize Tom up there. Tom got to help at Bob's one day, but it was hard for him to go up and down ladders and stairs. And we have dubbed Doug's house the castle in the hood. It's a two-story house. It looks bigger than what it is because of two things. It's got this really neat round turret that I would never recommend anybody to build unless you have a lot of money to pay someone, because it takes forever. But it also, you know, the city made us, town made us raise all these things all the way up. So it's just around like 2,300 square foot, but it looks like this huge monstrosity, especially because the two houses next to it are gone, the farm behind it's gone, and you know, you just look down the street and that's all that you see. And we have actually helped Doug all the way back from compacting dirt to put the foundation in. And this week we were sheeting. Dave Wexler's done a whole lot of work out there with some excavating and stuff like that. Next picture. That, I think, is Alan. Is that Alan? Yeah, Alan is the guy from Calvary Chapel Parker. Next. Tom and Alan again, looking at some of the framing stuff that we did. Keep going. Oh, and that is me. That is what we term sexy and disaster relief, okay? That's me. So, no, I'm actually getting ready to spray for mold remediation. We do professional mold remediation for people after floods, anything that involves water coming in from the outside. And just to give you an idea of mold remediation, if all they do is just spray, that's around $10,000. If they come and pull all the drywall out like we did at Brian's and clean all that stuff up and use dehumidifiers and fans and then spray and do all that stuff, that's upwards between $30,000 and $50,000 they charge to do this stuff. And we go around the country. I don't remember the exact number when we were first here, but I know the first time we were here, we worked on over 200 homes in 7 months. And I know we didn't remediate every single one of those, but we did most of them. Next picture. This is Brian's house. And by the way, that's Mark Powell's truck. He's lifting it up. He actually showed up tonight. He's in the back. Wave, Mark. But Mark's working on getting this thing lifted up, because that house has to go up 3.3 feet when it's all said and done. So it'll go up a little bit higher than that. We'll dump a whole bunch of dirt in there. We'll build new foundation walls, and then we'll set it back down. Next picture. Oh, there's Mickey arguing with me about something as usual. Next picture. Okay, John Tudor. You everybody know John Tudor? His wife Kim's right there. You know, John is an airline pilot, and so he could not be here today, so he sent me some words to say. I'm grateful that Kurt and Mary Jo, we paid him for these, by the way. I'm grateful that Kurt and Mary Jo organized this week of volunteer work. It was encouraging to me to see so many Christians helping people in the community, especially since some drove up from New Mexico to be involved. This church, the River Church, continues to amaze Kim and me with your heart for God and for service. Also, it increases my faith to hear people relate how the Lord has operated in their lives, like Tom Beeman did at lunchtime on Wednesday. Tom's story of conversion astonished me and magnified God's grace. You know, when I first started doing this, what Mary Jo and I did, we were pretty frustrated. Now, at Doug's house, which we're helping almost every single day, we're doing something on, Doug is there every single day working on his house. That's actually an oxymoron. In disasters, most times their homes are destroyed, their life still goes on. That's why we come in. And they might, like for instance, Doug lives in Longmont. Tom and Michelle live in Boulder. Brian, we got him a trailer. He's staying behind his house until winter sets in. You know, different people live in different places. They have jobs, they have families, they have school. They go off different places. And I'm looking at this thinking, well, why am I helping this guy rebuild a house when he's not even here? How do I get to minister to him? And God does all the time use that, whether it's actually with the homeowner, they get to see that, especially when we stay long-term and help for months and years. But God told me, I kind of got mad at him one time in a conversation about why do you have me doing this and I'm not ministering? He goes, well, you dummy, you had 10 volunteers this week. What did you do with them? And so that's why we started having the devotional up front in that time. And just like what John said and Rachel said about that, how it increases her faith, it increases his faith, it increases our faith. You know, iron sharpens iron. You know, that's what it's all about. And if some other people come to know the Lord and at least they know that Jesus exists because of what we do, that's awesome. But as far as God is concerned with me today, he wants me to grow to become more like him. And the same thing in each and every one of you. And I can sit in front of the TV all day and watch TV, or I can go out and hang around some Christians and we can serve together, do whatever we do together. And as that iron sharpens iron, as we become that one another people that God calls us to in the Bible, we are going to be encouraged and grow in the Lord. Okay, next picture. There's those turrets that I was talking about. Please never, ever do that. At least don't ask me to come help. Okay, next picture. That's Quint Betts. That's the pastor of Calvary Chapel Clovis. He has a small church that he pastors, and he works full-time. So he's a framer full-time, and when he comes up, we get a lot of work done. Next. John and Doug, keep going. There is Tom cutting some drywall. This is actually a garage that is a separate building from Tom and Michelle's house. And you might say, why are you sheetrocking a garage? Because it has a space above it that we can use to put somebody in once we get everything drywalled and sealed up. Plus, we just turned the water on. And so we have to have it heated so that the pipes don't freeze again because we just fixed all the frozen pipes. And Brian, who is one of the houses we're living in, lives in a travel trailer that we got for him from a buddy of mine in Iowa. And it is not set up for winter like mine is. And so he's going to move into that garage once winter hits in and we get it done. So that's why we're working on that garage. Okay, next. Okay, there's next. Scott, gotta talk. Oh, yeah, right. Sorry. And that's Bob. Bob is the guy from Aurora. He'll be back up here for a couple days this week, hopefully with his wife. And there's Adrian. She's already not talked. I think that's Mickey sitting down there. We literally, when we take these houses, I haven't sprayed this house for mold yet. I'm maybe going to do that tomorrow or sometime this week. But we have to get it, I'd like to tell people, clean enough that you could eat off of it. You wouldn't because it's got bacteria and stuff in it. But we're really taking it down to the studs so that we can then put it back together again. So all the screws had to come out, all the nails, all the old wood that I can't get to. And that's what Mickey spent most of the week, at least 3 days this week, working on. Go ahead. And I don't know who that is up there, but that's the side of the house again, another picture, keep going. There we are having lunch. And this was actually, I think, the Wednesday that John alluded to where Tom was giving his testimony about how he came to know the Lord. Next. Ah, guess who's next? Where's he? There's Jack.
So I've done some disaster relief the last couple of years as well. And no matter where I do it, like in other states or here, I always do sheetrock. It's amazing. Every time. And what's even more amazing is somehow every time before I do sheetrock again, I forget how to do it. So like the first couple hours are learning again. So when my dad told me we were doing disaster relief, I was like, that's cool. What are the odds? I'll do it again this year. We pull up, and before we get out of the car, the window's rolled down. I hear a voice yell, well, there's our sheetrock, boys. And I was like, yes, that's awesome. My dad said, no, this will be a good learning experience for us. And that was before I realized learning experience meant mistake. We had a lot of learning experiences that day. I remember one particular learning experience. I had this big triangle piece of sheetrock that I had to fit. It was huge. It was like that big of a triangle, except the sheetrock that we had didn't come all the way to the bottom. So instead of doing the obvious thing and measuring it over this way, I decided to still cut a perfect triangle. So I had this long sliver that I had to cut a piece for. And I was like, well, that's a problem, but it's okay. I'll just measure another piece. Measured it a little too short, had to measure another piece. This went on for a while. And when it was all said and done, I had 5 or 6 perfectly cut jigsaw pieces in the side of the wall. But what amazed me about this was that in all of this, I never got frustrated, no matter how hard I tried, because everyone around me was so incessantly encouraging. They refused to be unhappy with my work, even when I was. And it was just, I took this moment when I was doing that, when it was all said and done, and I was like, wow, this is an amazing place to be. I'm messing up over and over, but at the same time, I'm learning skills. I'm around people who don't care when I mess up. They're glad for the help, and they want to see me succeed as a person. I'm learning skills, and I'm helping someone. It was an amazing experience. The story concludes. I was just finishing the last piece, and I was kind of laughing with a buddy of mine. I was saying, well, this is like a jigsaw puzzle. At least the owner isn't going to see it. They're going to get the texture up. And right as I say those words, Michelle walks in through the door, and she just kind of laughs. She just goes, huh, and then she leaves. It was an amazing experience. So if you ever get the chance to volunteer with them, I definitely recommend doing it. An amazing group of people.
I don't do drywall, and neither does Mickey. And it was funny because Mickey did the insulation, and it was just about the time they pulled up when Mickey got out of doing the drywall. But when we were rebuilding the church, it's interesting because, like I said, I hate to do drywall. And I will do it, but it'll take me forever. And so when we were first here, we were living with Ed and Claudia Keene, if you know them, downtown. And he was in charge of all the volunteers that would come in that had to do with the town. So we got in a few heated discussions over how to handle volunteers and do things different ways, because we were handling the Christian side of things and he was handling mostly the world side of things. He would just tell anybody who called on the phone, yeah, come on in. And he never had things ready for them when they came in. And so one morning we get up and I'm having breakfast. He goes, oh, by the way, there's a college group coming in today. You think you can find something for them to do? I'm like, great, college group, okay. And again, keep in mind that most of the time these were people who aren't believers. So while I don't mind, you know, having unbelievers work with us and do things, I don't necessarily want 20 of them at once when I'm not prepared for them and I got to scramble to figure something out. And at the time, we were really struggling to get building permits here locally, because if you don't know, we ended up going all working from Jamestown down to Hygiene, Longmont, Lyons, Pinewood Springs, and Big Elk Meadows. That was what we encompassed the first time we were here, because we couldn't work in Lyons a whole lot. And then, of course, the church. And we had this deal that if we were going to work on the church, money had to directly come in for the church. We would not take any money out that just came for disaster relief. We weren't just pulling volunteers to get the church done. And y'all can look around and see how beautiful and how God worked all that out in a very short time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That verse came to life for us in this church. But So at that point, we were ready to do drywall at the church. So this group pulls up, and I said, you know, I didn't know you were coming until about a half an hour ago. And there's all this stuff going on. And keep in mind, their leaders, you know, he's got long hair. And he looks like the college guy. He's not a college guy, but, you know, he's kind of got the look like this is not a church group coming in, right? And so nothing wrong with long hair. Mine would be longer if my wife would allow it. So all these kids jump out, you know, they're all happy and all this stuff. And I'm like, we don't have any work to do on any houses today. Matter of fact, probably not even this week. So I've got this church. And now, when I would say that to a lot of non-Christian people around to come in, you'd be surprised how many people actually came and helped here, which I thought was cool. But there were some that didn't. So I'm like, you know, whatever. I'm going to let them know up front. And he goes, wow, we would love to work at a church. I said, well, that's only half of it. I says, we have drywall to do next. He goes, you're kidding me. We were praying on the way down that we would get a drywall job. I'm thinking, who prays for that, right? And so what was the guy's name? I can't think of his name. Bob, thank you. Bob Johnson. And he actually came back 3 times total. So a lot of you guys probably met him over time. And a really neat guy. Ended up being a Christian group, right? So anyways, next picture. Oh, there's Mickey down in the hole. So see, we tried to keep him down there as much as possible. Keep going. More pictures over doing some getting ready to sheet. Keep going. There's Crystal. Did Crystal going to say anything? No, Crystal's going to be, you know, unusually quiet. There you go. That you can go. Keep going. We were erroneously told by the city that the front of my Brian's house had to come out, which was that thing. And now we found out it didn't have to, but we don't want to cause any cogs, so we are removing the front, which is what Crystal was working on next. Oh, by the way, this is Mark getting his beams to go underneath the house. So keep going. There's Crystal again. See, you had like 3 opportunities to talk and you didn't. Next. Okay, there's the inside of, if you remember the first picture of Rachel and Raina, this was that same house full of drywall, blown in insulation. I mean, I pulled those ceilings down and I was covered from head to toe with just dirt and dust. And they're working on getting all the final clean. Keep going. Keep going. It was cold that day. There's the castle in the hood. Next. Ah! This was Wednesday, and I've got a few pictures coming up here. The youth group came out, and we had ripped that whole side of Brian's house apart and a bunch of other things. And then they came out and did a cookout, and they fed the Confluence area. So we're going to see some pictures of them cleaning up our mess. Good. Oh, no, wait. Last chance. Next. I think this was the next. Okay. They actually brought out some. The only time we had coffee, which was Wednesday when it was really cold that day. Next. Oh, there's Mickey down where he belongs again. Next. Oh, there's Brandon helping me rip the front of the house apart there. Next. And there's the front gone. I still have to get the windows. And there, here's where the youth are carrying all my trash. Next.
So the town just didn't like the look of that box on the front?
Well, they said it was too close to the easement. But the problem is it had a permit when it was built, so they can't say that. Next. Yeah, but they did, right? They already talked. Next. And again. Okay. We for some reason there's a miscommunication and nobody took pictures of the outreach. How many people would you say we had there? A lot. I mean, yeah, there was, it was very cold. We probably had at least 30 people from the Confluence area there. And that was really, really neat. To my knowledge, I can't think that we've done anything out there for them. And where we had it was where 2 houses were totally destroyed and taken out. And also it was the first time in over 3 years that there had been any kind of picnic celebration, whatever, in that area of the Confluence since before the flood. So that was kind of no. No, not in that area you didn't. That was the first time down on that cul-de-sac. Yes, back in the back, that new little cul-de-sac back there. So where the last houses are being built and permitted. And so that was kind of really neat. It was just kind of neat to for people to come up and hang out and talk. And quite a few of them gave their thanks to the youth for doing all that. And I know, like Doug said, make sure you tell them, because his son had a flat tire and he had to run out and help him, and he didn't get to tell them all that. So now we're back on Thursday doing some more work. Keep on going. There's Doug again. Keep going. Ah, there we go. That's yeah, you know, the two on the right, that's Yoli, that's Quint's wife from New Mexico, and she's been here twice helping out. Next. Oh, there's Mickey. Next. Keep on going. Get to use some cool tools like a jackhammer. Next. And Merle came out and helped Mickey do some jackhammering on Friday, and I think that's the last slide, right? Yep, okay. So did everybody get to speak that wants to speak, except for Mary Jo's next?
I looked away real quick and tried not to make eye contact with him, but he got me. I'm officially the worst missionary ever because I wanted to stay home last week. But I had a good reason. I was sick, but it was really pretty amazing because the Lord always shows up. And I remember, especially Wednesday, it was cold. Somebody in Confluence called it cozy, but in Florida we call that freezing. I didn't know how I was going to make it through the day. That was probably the worst I was feeling. But somehow the Lord just showed up, and I had the strength to finish. And Casey showed up at the perfect time with some coffee, and just that little bit of encouragement kind of pushed me through the rest of the day, or the caffeine. I'm not sure which one it was, but it really was at the perfect time. And it kind of seemed like everything else through that week happened at the perfect time. Someone had offered to make us dinner, and then later had to say she couldn't do it. But it worked out perfectly because it ended up that all the nights were covered, and at the end of the week we had a smaller group, so we didn't need dinner. So, and she had something that she had to deal with, and so that worked out great. On Friday, somebody else was supposed to bring lunch, and something came up for that person, but it worked out perfectly because Casey and Brandon had lunches left over from their Wednesday lunch, and so I used those for sandwiches. So just like everything along the way just came together perfectly. And that's how God is. It's amazing. And I think one of the best things that I saw is that I sometimes think, oh, I'm not doing enough for the Lord. But I don't think it really has to be big things that we do or that I do. I think it's just little things. Like Julie pulled me aside this morning and said, oh, I was praying for you all week. And I talked to Connie in the kitchen and she encouraged me, and Casey in her coffee, and just little tiny things I think make the biggest difference. And I really saw that this week. I see it all the time, but I really saw that this week.
And now Mickey.
Blame Adrian because she wouldn't talk.
Wow. Am I going to talk about what? I will for a minute, actually. And Kurt said he wasn't a slave driver. If you notice, I can't straighten up. This, I'm kind of just, it doesn't feel, no, it was awesome. It was good. You know what? I want to share just briefly about following Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus. We'll save this message for another week. But you heard the testimonies of what happened, and it was really neat just to get to watch as watch God's people follow Jesus. And we follow Jesus into crawl spaces. We follow Jesus up onto a roof. We follow Jesus into a garage. We follow Jesus to lunch. And there was something that happened in all of those places where he was there. And that's the heart of why Kurt and Mary Jo do. But as Christians, why we do what we do, why we walk out these doors and walk into people's lives to love them and to share Jesus with them. And I remember different times throughout the week getting to talk to people. And what was interesting was, I remember like Brian, his house, got a chance to talk to Brian, and we talked about, Brian writes music and does jingles for advertisements and things like that, and we talked about that, had a connection there because I knew a friend that did that. And we talked just about that. But Jesus was there in that conversation. And Charlie, another one that was down in the basement in the crawl space with it. I remember talking to Charlie about coaching girls softball. He had coached before and I had coached before. And we talked about that and we made this connection. And Jesus was there. And I don't mean this in the wrong, there's times when we need to specifically talk about the gospel about Jesus. But in those times, they just knew, well, there's a Christian, there's a follower of Jesus here, and making a connection. Paul talked about that in Corinthians. He says, when I was here, I became this. When I was here, I became that. I became all things to all people so that I could share Jesus with them, that they could see Jesus. And I just remember seeing that happen. Michelle, she was out staining the wood that goes up on the side of the house for their whole house. My wife did that for a year and a half when we were building our house. And so we had this connection and I had some ideas about, well, you can line them up like this and it goes a lot faster, and what brush Kim used. And so there was this connection talking about staining wood, and Jesus was there in that conversation. And what was cool about it, it's not just on a missions trip, but when we go out to work tomorrow, when we walk out these doors and you go to school or you go to your job or whatever it is, we're called to follow Jesus. And the heart of that, I've got a whole message for this and I'm excited about it and we're going to save it. But what it means to follow, Jesus was 30 years old when he began his public ministry. And the first words that he said, the first words recorded in Scripture, they're in Matthew, were, "Follow me." And Matthew and John recorded differently. They recorded as "come and see." So there's this invitation, though, to come to him and to come and to see and to follow him. And the first thing that he did was gather this group of 12. We know them as the disciples. But what we find out is Jesus called all of us to be disciples, to follow him. That was the heart of what he calls us to. And there are 10 very specific places in Scripture where Jesus says, If you follow me, then this. Or those that follow me, they look like this. They live like this. They love like this. Here's what my people look like. And there's two specific ones that just jumped out and grabbed my heart. And one is where he says, hey, those that follow me, they're the ones that serve others unselfishly. That I love and serve people for him. Literally, our hands become his hands and our feet become his feet, to take his message, to take him where we go. And there's scripture for that and all of that. But the other one is, number one, we serve unselfishly. And here, I'm cutting through this. And the other one, he says, those that follow me invite others to follow him too. And so we go out to serve and to love and to be his hands and feet, to let people see who he is and what he's done. And part of that is we live a life like his life, a life of sacrifice and selflessness, where we lay down our agenda, we lay down our rights, we lay down our needs so that somebody else's needs might be met, so that somebody else might see Jesus. You remember Paul in Corinthians last week said, I do this so that I might win more for Christ. That's the heart of it all, that more people might see Jesus and might come to know him, and we get a chance to reflect him in our life and then to share him with our mouth. Here's why we do what we do. Here, and there's people that ask when you're out, well, what do you guys do? Why do you do this? Well, because we love the dirt and we love crawling around a crawl space. No, because we love people. And it's there that we get to lay down our life to show his life. Living through. But again, not just in Confluence. We talk about disaster relief. And I remember the first time meeting Kurt and Mary Jo, and I just called you Mary again. And do you remember? Anyway, that's a whole other story. I messed that up for the first year. Their heart of being Jesus' hands and feet and going into disasters. But what grabbed my heart as we walked through our own disaster was there are natural disasters. There are physical disasters like the flood, like earthquakes, like hurricanes, all of those kinds of things. But as Christians, we walk into a world that's been hit by a disaster. A disaster called sin, where there's broken lives and broken hearts and people that are just looking for something that is real, looking for something that can really change their life. And the only thing that is there is Jesus. He is that solid rock. He is the one that heals the brokenhearted, that brings new life where you just feel empty and like there's no life. And so we walk out as Christians, our work is disaster relief, no matter whether it's a flood or a hurricane or going to work or going to school or going to wherever you go, because you're going to find people who are empty and broken and searching for something. And that something is Jesus. And so we get to introduce people to him. A follower of Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4. I'll use two scriptures this morning. Verse 19. Actually, I know I'm not in order here. See if you can find that under the second, invite others to follow him. Here it is. Jesus called out to them, come and follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Another version says, make fishers of men. But this is what he's talking about. And they left their nets at once, and they followed him. And what Jesus is talking about, he's not talking about putting a hamburger on a hook so I can get you. Okay, I know that would get most of you. But he's talking about the opportunity to follow him out into the world and invite people to him. To invite people to follow him and find new life and new hope and find eternal life and real life in him. And so that's the heart of what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be a Christian. And there's a process through the book of Matthew. He says, come and see. And that's where, hey, come check this out. Low level of commitment, just come and see. Those were Jesus' first words. And then it's come and follow. Hey, come and see what I'm doing and then come alongside me and follow me. And then he goes to a deeper level of commitment to come and trust. He says, deny yourself, lay down your life, and follow me. When you give up your life for me, Jesus says, and for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of God's message, when you give up your life for that, you're going to find everything. And so that's the come and trust. And what we find in that, and here's the key to being able to sacrifice and to lay down our lives and to serve, to set aside our agenda and to set aside our rights, all the things we've been looking at in Corinthians, to follow him in that way is to first come to him and find out that he is completely trustworthy. That he's going to take care of my needs, that he's going to take care of all the things that I seem to worry about and want to take care of. It's like I don't have to worry about those anymore. I can follow him and I can serve others and I can lay down my life because I know he's got my back. He's got me covered. That's the promise. He says, come and trust me in all of this. And so we don't have to worry about self. We got to set self aside and follow him and share him with others. And the Great Commission is, hey, go into all the world and make what? Disciples. That's a follower of Jesus. That's what it means. And that was the term in Scripture that was used. The term Christian didn't come along till later. Disciple was a follower of Jesus. That's what it meant. And so he calls us to make other followers of Jesus. And so he says, come and see. And then he says, come and follow me. And he says, come and lay down your life and set your life aside. Let me take care of you while you go and be my hands and feet to the world. He calls us to do that as Christians every day. Every day as we walk out this door today, we're called as followers of him to lay down our lives, to set our agendas aside, to be inconvenienced so that somebody else might come to know him, to set our comfort aside so that somebody else might be comforted by his presence and by who he is. That's what we're called to do. And it's a reflection of him. Who is the one that laid down his life more than we'll ever understand? Jesus. And to be a disciple means that you follow what he is the teacher. He is the one we follow. And so we walk in his footsteps. He gave up everything for people so that people could come to know him, so that people could be saved and forgiven and have new life. That's what he did. And so we follow him. And I'll just close with one. This was the end of this message, but it's a scripture that just grabbed my heart. Can I tell you, I want to encourage you. God wants to speak through you. God wants to speak through your life. God wants to use you in a powerful way. And you may be scared. You may be, well, he can't do that with me. Please hear this. Yes, he can, and he wants to. He wants to use your life. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 kind of pulls all this together. It's the very last scripture if you want to put it up there. And I'm reading this out of the Message view, because Message translation, because I believe it just grabs the heart. But here's what it says. Your lives are echoing the Master's word. The news of your faith in God is out. We don't even have to say anything anymore. You are the message. You catch that? How important it is to live that life that reflects him, to lay down our lives for others, to deny self so that we can be selfless and giving to others so that they can see Jesus. That's what this is talking about. When we follow Jesus, what he's saying is our lives speak for him. As followers of Jesus, we show the message with our life. And the way we show that is by sacrificing, by giving up us so that other people can see him. And then we share the message with our mouth. Both of those go together. When you're out there sacrificing and laying down your life, can I tell you, that's different than the world. It's completely countercultural to everything this world talks about. And people will say, well, you're nuts. What are you doing? You know, fight for your rights, right? We hear that all the time. Jesus says, no, lay your rights aside so that somebody might see me living in you. And when you do that, you'll get this question. You talk about open doors to sharing your faith. Why? What are you doing? Why are you here in the basement? Why are you here doing this? Why are you serving me in this way? Why are you loving me when I haven't loved you? And then we get to say, well, it's because of Jesus. Here's the difference he's made in my life, and he wants to make that difference in your life too. And we get to invite them to that relationship with our king so that he can become their king also. That's the heart of everything that he does in us and through us. And we get to share the greatest message that the world has ever known. It's sharing this great inheritance. Think of going to the poorest of the poor that has nothing and lost everything, maybe living on the street in rags. And you get to go and say, hey, wait a minute, come here. You have a great inheritance. There's a king that has adopted you and wants you to be part of the family. You can come and follow him. Come with me. Guys, that's the message that we have. It's not something to be ashamed of or something to be afraid of or something to run from. It's the greatest message the world has ever heard, that there is a God and that he created us, all of us, with value and purpose. We broke that. We rebelled against him, but he didn't leave us there. He stepped in. He stepped in and he took on human flesh. That's Jesus. And Jesus lived that perfect life that we could never live. And then he died in our place for our sin so that we could be his again and that we inherit. That's the word that he uses. We inherit this kingdom. We have a new king. We have a new father. And when we put our faith in him, we become part of that family. That's the message that we get to share with people. And so as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, and we got to see it this week, but this is God's people every day, those that follow Jesus. I love and serve others for him. That's why we do it. We love and serve others for him, his hands, his feet, his voice. And then I share him and I invite him to come and to follow us. Amen? Amen. Can I encourage you this week? You probably won't be in a crawl space. I will not. But you know what? You'll be out in the middle of a disaster where there are people with broken hearts and where there are people with broken lives, where there are people that may be putting on a good face, but there's something inside that's hurting or broken or lost or whatever it might be. Please understand, as a follower of Jesus, you have the answer. You have Jesus, and you get to invite them. Come and see. Start that simple. Come and see. Come check this out. He is as good as he says he is, and he'll change your life too. That's our message. So I just want to encourage you to do that this week. As you walk out from here to job, to school, to wherever you might be, we get to do disaster relief, and we get to do that until the day he returns. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together, and you know what? Tom? Where's Tom? Oh, there you are. Let's go out worshiping the Lord, and this whole message, it's coming. It's coming in a few weeks, and we'll do it then. But let's pray, and then we'll worship as we're leaving. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you, for the opportunity that you've given us to, Lord, follow you, to be your disciples, that we would walk in our master's footsteps, Lord, that we would be those that are willing to lay down our life, to set aside our agenda, to not worry about our needs, that we might meet somebody else's needs. And Lord, the only way we can do that is because we know that you are our great God, that you have us taken care of, that we have everything that we need in you. And so we can set ourselves aside, live those lives that, Lord, point to others, that serve others. And I pray that you'd continue to work that in our hearts. Lord, and as we have opportunity right here in our town and down in the confluence, Lord, I pray, give us courage. I pray for courage to take a risk and to walk down there and serve. But Lord, even beyond there, at work, at our job, wherever it might be, let us be your hands and feet, that people might see you and that we might be able to invite them. Hey, we have this great Father that loves us more than you'll ever know, and he wants to be your Father too, Lord. Let us walk out with that message. We love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.